Hello and welcome to the Wild Minds podcast with me, your host, Joe Farrell. In this podcast, we'll be covering people's mentality, how we can help the environment, and people's mental health. We'll understand how people coped in difficult situations and how people managed to overcome the challenges they were faced with in life. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, follow us on Instagram at wildminds.uk and on Facebook at wildminds.uk. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this episode. This week's Wild Minds Wednesday is sponsored by T3 Training and Clothing. T3 Clothing is an extension of the T3 personal training brand. They have a wide range of clothing that will suit all your training needs. I can personally recommend T3 Clothing as it's comfortable and durable when training. Make sure to check out T3 Clothing at T3_training_clothing on Instagram to get yours. Now let's get on with the episode. All right, here we are again, Wild Minds Nation. The next podcast is here, and with my boy, longtime good friend, Sam Rochford. What's going on, Sam, lad? You good?
Yeah, man. I see what you're doing. It's good to see something good, you know, a bit of good energy in the world in these tough times.
I like it, man. What are you doing? Christmas is upon us. We're almost there, G. We're almost there.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to a bit of time off, man. You know, work hard all year and then take these couple of weeks just to wind down a bit, relax off the training.
What are you doing for it? What are you doing for Christmas Day?
Not much really, man. Jump up to Kira's really, partners, cooking dinner actually, so that should be fun.
You're cooking?
I'm cooking, man. I love a bit of cook, man. It's one of my little hobbies, man. It's not too bad either. I'll send you a picture. So now we're up there, we're cooking. So yeah, it should be a fun time. And then just kicking it up there with family, really. Yeah, it should be nice.
Mate, I'm a lot better at eating than I am cooking.
Yeah, I can tell, man.
Wow.
I'm kidding. You're looking good.
Man, I'm always looking good. Double eyes. Not as good as you, but looking indecent, Nick.
I don't know about that.
So what? Tell me about you, Sam. That's how I know early life, Sam. Because I know early life, Sam was a bit of a wild man.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. So you met me. Well, I may as well start from the beginning, really. I mean, you met me when I was young, and when I was young, I lost my old man. And for me, that's probably what changed my life, but that's what made me into the sort of guy I am today, really. I mean,
How old were you then?
It was just before day before I turned 13.
Right.
It's not something I talk about too often, but it's not exactly something that I'm afraid to jump into. It used to be, and it used to be a hard conversation, but
Obviously,
it's nice for people to hear because there's a lot of people in similar positions or in positions, obviously, even worse so than what I was in. But it's obviously nice to hear someone who's been through it and sort of come from the other side. But yeah, man, obviously that happened to me. And then you know me as a driven guy, someone who's always done sport, kind of always looked to be the best. But yeah, there was some ropey times, really. You know what I'm saying? It's something that obviously I'd change if I could, but like looking back on it, I would not be the man I am today without having to go through such a traumatic thing, if you get me. I mean, I'm a big believer of without hardship, you're not really growing or gaining as a person. Do you know what I'm saying? People who go through hardship become a stronger person, like mentally and everything that comes along with it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. So what? How did you, with such a traumatic thing like that, say it's good for me? It's different for me to hear because obviously it's not something I've been through. So what way did you reckon? How did you come through the other side of this?
I think for the longest time at the beginning, I thought I dealt with it okay and I thought I was fine. And it's only up until the last three, four years of my life that I've started to realise that, you know what, maybe I didn't deal with things so well. Maybe I kind of was a bit off the rails. Like you've seen me obviously going out and partying, and there was a stage in my life where that's what I did, man. And don't get me wrong, I can't sit back and say that I regretted doing that, because you learn a lot doing things like that. You meet a lot of people, you have a lot of great times, but you've got to realise that that's not the way to be full time, man. You've got to turn that stuff around. And for me, the thing that turned it around was, well, I've always, even when I was doing that, I was always training hard, and it was training's always been a part of my life. And it's not, I don't do it just for the physical benefits, like the aesthetic benefits of training. It's, for me, it's more about the mental. Do you know what I mean? It's about training your mind to become as strong as it possibly can be, like a bit of a fortress, if you will. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going, and there's not really much of a truer thing that's been said before, because it's so true. You see people, you can tell what someone's about when you see them in the gym or you do a session with them, because when it gets tough, you'll see it in training all the time. The people that you'll know, the people who've got that nitty gritty, you know, the people who've got that grind about them, you know, that people have probably got more to them than just, do you know what I mean, than just the cover. And it's how they push through those hard points in sessions. And for me, I've always prided myself in how I can dig deep and go that extra mile. And I think a lot of that spurs from obviously my history and obviously losing my old man and just being able to take, because things obviously were so hard then, like getting through like a tough session or getting through other things in life for me are a lot more easy, because obviously I've been there, been in a place where I know what's bad, I know what's real bad for me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it I've used that as a positive, taking the positives out of a negative situation and put that into my life. And obviously I've built from that and sort of taken myself to where I am today and accomplished some good stuff. Do you know what I'm saying?
So like the routine of, because when you're 13, you won't have been going gym, will you, really? You'll just been playing rugby up at Meltham. So the routine of rugby and giving yourself something else to throw yourself into, mm-hmm. is the way that you're coped with getting through that.
Yeah, I think so. It's, I mean, I always played rugby and it's, you just go along with it, don't you? And it's sort of, you meet your friends through it. It's a great sport to play, really. You meet people, you learn great morals playing rugby. You become a respectful person, do you know what I'm saying? You can't be on a rugby pitch and not be respectful, because you'll be found out and you'll be kicked straight off there, do you know what I'm saying? And you'll be found out on a rugby pitch. You can't hide away. Your personality comes through on a pitch and you gain either a lot of respect or you don't. You know what I mean? It's a good sport to be involved with.
I agree 100%. I think with the way that it is, I think with rugby is getting a bad name at the minute, because some kids don't want to play it because of how rough and tough it is. And I think some parents don't want kids to play it either because of, you know how we end up looking, we're all bashed up.
Yeah.
I think the morals and stuff you get from rugby, like you have to have respect for the referee and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have respect for your coaches. I think it's like the top sport for a young kid that wants to develop and mature more. I think it's a great sport to get into.
I'd recommend, I mean, if I have kids one day, I put them through into a rugby team. I think obviously being in a team environment in any situation is good. You're around people, you work together. Do you know what I mean? You learn a lot from things like that. Team building, it just helps you in all aspects of life. But being in a rugby team it's putting your body on the line. It's a physical sport. You've got to back your friend next to you and the man next to you. You know what I'm saying? But the other team's doing the exact same thing. So there's a mutual respect there that it's an unsaid thing, but both teams have got that respect. I mean, you've been there before. It kicks off in rugby. It is what it is. But then at the end of the game, every single person on that team will shake the hands of the opposition. And it's calm. It's like it's never even happened. You know what I'm saying? You laugh about it. You joke about it. I've got friends who I must have played rugby with them when I was 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, whatever. And I don't see them for years. And you'd be out on a night or whatever, you bump into them and you can have a chat with them. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just little bonds like that from something as simple as a sport, which I don't think you can so much get a level of camaraderie and friendship like that from many other sports, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, man. With rugby, you were playing down with me, you were playing with me at Giants, obviously you came from Meltham, I gave you a good ass whooping a few times when you played a year above yourself.
Yeah, right, anyway, you're gonna still feeling that, surely, you know, that's about, what, 7, 8 years ago.
So then, obviously, we linked up again when we were playing at Giants.
Yeah,
we're playing at Giants. I left. I went to Australia. You finished your term there. And then you went up to Underbank. What was it? Did you enjoy the like the less professional Underbank than the actual, like, at Giants? We were locked into what we were doing.
I mean, I enjoyed my time at Giants, definitely, man. It was a good laugh. It was great. I think the mindset that I had personally at the time wasn't, I trained hard, I was there, I was doing it, but I didn't have the mindset that you probably needed to have in order to make it to that next level, probably. I mean, maybe I did, maybe I didn't, but like I said, I found partying and stuff and I started, went down that route a little bit. But as you, well, yeah, no, I enjoyed Giants for what it was. And then going back to Underbag, it was kind of nice, really, because that professional environment, it's not all fun and games. You know yourself. Do you know what I'm saying? It's fun, but at the same time, it takes a lot of the fun away from things.
It's business, isn't it? It's business at the end of the day.
Business at the end of the day. You're getting paid money to play rugby. And yeah, it took the fun out of it for me from obviously playing as a kid and then playing there. But yeah, going back to Wonderbank, it was good. It was, you sort of found the enjoyment there again. It's a bit more of a laugh, do you know what I'm saying? It's not as serious. Still a decent level to play, but you can sort of sit back and relax and enjoy it a bit more.
I think the word I'd use for when I came back from Australia and didn't have a professional club, I think then I played at Underbank. I think the word I'd use is refreshing for how it was for me. I've been in like the stressful situations of professional rugby where you've got all these expectations on your head. You should be doing this. You're getting paid to do this. So why are you doing this? And then to go to play at a team where you're not getting paid to play, you're just going up there to have some fun. I think it's refreshing. You find your love for the sport again.
Definitely. That's what it is, man. Because I think it's easy to lose that love for it, really, when all it is like you said, it's a business and you're there to do a job rather than go and have a kickabout on a Saturday with your boys, you know what I mean? I enjoyed being back at Underbank. It was good. It was fun. For me, it's what it should be about. You get out there, you play hard, you have a good time, and at the end of the day, you know you've enjoyed yourself. Don't get me wrong, obviously I enjoyed my games at Giants and playing with all the boys down there, but like you said, it's a job rather than a hobby in that sense.
Yeah, I think, and then you went from Underbank, and then I think when you left Underbank and started pursuing whatever else you were pursuing, I think like from looking at your social media and speaking to you, I feel like you matured loads when you went into like doing like the ultra marathons and all stuff like that.
I think as you get older and as you grow, you can delve into more things and you can look into more things and you can start to realise what you're more suited to, or you find hobbies, or you know what I'm saying? You have a look about to try new things. And I've always enjoyed rugby, but I always knew that it wasn't my be all and end all for me. It was never my absolute passion. What was a passion of mine was always training hard, working hard, and reaping the benefits from that. I looked into different things and kind of wanted to do a few more solo endeavours, you know what I'm saying, or really push myself. And because I've always been mentally tough, or thought I was, or sort of people looked at me as the guy who sort of could go that extra mile. But I thought, you know what, I'll see what I am about. And I did mature. And then, went onto the ultra marathons, which was a fun thing to try, I suppose.
Yeah, well, talk me through the mindset of, how far is it, like 50K through Marshland and stuff like that?
I did a couple, man. I did, it was trail running, so it's different to obviously running on road. Me and my boy Dwayne Martin, tough guy, man, good guy to meet. We just thought one day, do you know what? Let's do something different. We both of a like mind. We both similar guys. We both train hard, and we just thought one day, let's book an ultra marathon, man. Let's see what we're made of. Let's see what we can do. So the first one was, we went up to Scotland, and it was for a couple of days. The first day was like I think it was like 30 miles and on a Saturday, and then you slept the night and then you did another 33 miles on the Sunday. And boy, that got tough. That's we trained hard obviously leading up to it and going into it, but you don't train for something like that until you don't know what you get yourself into until you get there on the day. Definitely one of the toughest things I've had to do. Good to do it with someone, because I mean, obviously, you do something, go through something like that, and you hit some highs, you hit some lows, and there's a lot of lows. But doing it with someone, you create a bond, sort of. That's you can't ever take that away from you. Do you know what I mean? Like, I might not have to see you doing it for years or whatever it'll be, but at the end of the day, we'll still have that bond, because we shared some tough moments together. But we both made it through in the end, and big respect to him as well.
I was gonna say then, I was gonna compare like rugby from being 30 and a side to like doing your trail running, where it's just you. But then you've just answered the question yourself, saying that you did it with your boy anyway.
Yeah.
So is that the same thing? You got like the same team feeling out of just you two as you would out of the whole squad if you were playing rugby?
In a sense, but at the same time, not really. Because, I mean, obviously it's shared between 30 men on the pitch, you know what I'm saying? But when you're in a situation like a marathon or an ultra marathon, whatever it be, maybe you really have to. It's obviously doing it with someone's. It's a helping hand, but it's all on you. There's not a lot of talking around those hours you're running around that trail, and it's a lot of just thinking and stepping and just carrying on and keeping that mental strong. And really, really digging deep into those reserve tanks and pushing yourself along that course.
I think about it, like your legs will be on fire, 100%. You're running. You're not just running 30 mile and 36 mile or whatever. You're running it in mud, so your feet aren't stable underneath you, so you can't get a good grip with your foot. So you're running in sludge.
Nah, your feet are ruined. You've got feet bleeding and stuff, blisters all over the spot. You're in a bad way. Obviously, I mean, toenails will come off and all sorts. It's a tricky thing to go through, but it's one of those where your mind obviously takes over, and it's a mind over matter thing. I mean, I'm sat here saying that obviously that what I achieved is a good thing, and it is, don't get me wrong. But there's people out there who are doing all sorts of crazy stuff, which is it's 10 times what something like I did there. There's a woman called Courtney Dowalter, and she's the toughest race in the world. It's called the Moab 240. All the big boys enter this, man. It's sick. And all the top men there, top women, they all do it. And this woman called Courtney Dowalter, she trumps the men every single time, man. It's 240-mile race, and this woman will beat people by a full day. It's like a 3-day race or something like that. You might have to fact check me on that, but she's out there and she beats the men and she kills them off. And she's only a small little thing, but it's what she's got up there. And it's a lot of things like that. It's something to look up to, you know what I'm saying? It spurs you on. Like, she has no right to be out there smoking everyone, but she'll do it because she's made of some different stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking, if I'm running all that way, I'm thinking my legs are burning, my lungs are on fire. But in my head now, I think I could do that. I could get through that. But then if I'm running 30 miles or whatever, how long does it take? 8 hours, 9 hours, 10 hours?
I think I can't even remember. I think the first one was like 6.5, and the next day it was like 9, something like that, 10 hours or something. The second day.
So that's like, so say it's like 17 hours of me by myself in my own, locked in my own head. I think that keep trying to stay sane through that would be harder for me than actually like the lateral keeping my legs moving.
It's part of the challenge though. That's exactly what you go and do it for. Do you know what I mean? Well, for me, it was. I wanted to see what I would be like when it got really tough, put yourself in a position where you know what I mean? You've never been before. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe I'll quit. Maybe I won't make it through. But that's when you find out what you're really about when you put yourself in a position like that. Like I said earlier, I think a lot of people nowadays will go through life playing sail, and they won't put themselves in a position of stress or a position where you've got to work hard to beat something or get past them or achieve something. And if you're not doing that, then it's hard to sort of enjoy life or have any sort of a positive outlook on things, because overcoming a stressful situation makes you feel good about yourself. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out there who they just can't be bothered to go and do something, obviously, or they might think about doing something, but they ain't got that get up and go to give it a go. It doesn't have to be something like a marathon, but it can be anything like put yourself through a little 1K around the block. It's if that's stress for you, and then you come around and you finish that, then you're going to be feeling on top of the world. You know what I'm saying? It's little things like that obviously spur you on and keep you going through hard times.
I think, like, literally myself now, personally, I'm trying to take I can't be arsed out of my vocabulary. Like, I'm trying never ever to say I can't be arsed. Even if I'm not filling up to something, I know for a fact I just need to get up and do it, because I'll feel good after it's done.
Yeah.
So I think that's definitely the thing. A lot of people get stuck in that can't be arsed situation, then just think, oh, no, I'll do it tomorrow.
That's it. It's training your mind, man. It's being disciplined. Discipline for me is a big part of my life now. It's all the time when you're going to go out and do something, there's a little thought that pops in your head and thinks, oh, nah, just allow it, just leave it. But you need to think, bang, as soon as you get that thought, nah, I've had, now, for me, when I have that thought of, nah, I'm not going to do it, that means now you've got to go and do it. As soon as you get that little devil on your shoulder say, nah, just call it. That's when you get up and you go and beat that devil, do you know what I'm saying? And you come back and you feel like you've really achieved something. And obviously, for your mental toughness and your mental game and just being happy in general, it does so much for you. Obviously, I can't stress enough how exercise and going out there and achieving a goal, it does so much for your happiness and your well-being.
So your way of looking at it, like, it's like every little thing that you do is like a challenge. So it's like you'll have X amount of challenges in a day. So it's like you're getting loads of little wins all the way through the day.
Little wins,
goals. So that keeps you up.
Yeah, of course it does. It's like I said, like being disciplined, like something as simple as waking up in the morning and making your bed. I mean, it sounds so stupid and so simple, but you wake up in the morning, first thing you do, bang, make your bed. Then you've already on a little win. You know what I mean? Yeah, every single day. And that becomes routine. You do that for 100 days. You do that for 300 days. And you've done it every single day. Then it's a habit. And then you stick to it. And then you just got that little win when you wake up in the morning. Then anything else, you have a good breakfast. You go and have a good meal. You eat good all day. You go to a training session. All these little wins add up. And it all adds up to keeping yourself sane, keeping yourself happy. It's one of those, isn't it?
So going back to like that running, when you're in there, you're getting little wins in there, like saying that rock there, I'll get to you. That tree there, I'll get to you. You got no win.
I mean, yeah, but those trees, man, they just kept coming. I'm telling you, it's fair enough. It's that was a brutal time. I think I had the end goal thinking I can't. And there was never a time where I thought I'll quit this. It got tough, but you block it out and you just keep yourself going, man. I mean, I'd recommend anyone to give it a go, but obviously build yourself up a bit first. But I'm glad I did it because it's a great achievement, and I know what it's like. I know what I can do when I get into deep water like that. I think it's good to push your limits and really try to figure out who you are and what you're about. I came out with a much better understanding of life, really, and because you go to some dark places, you know what I mean? You really have to dig deep and you come back with a much better understanding on our outlook on everything, really. Like I said, you put yourself through those hard times, other things in life just become just that little bit easier or a little bit more simple because you know what tough is, you know what hard is.
So it's like you understand yourself more after. So you're saying that time that you like that 17 hours that you've got locked in your head, it's like you're learning about yourself all the way through it, going up and down.
In a strange way, you're enjoying it at the same time. I mean, well, that might not be everyone, but you know what I mean? When you get to that hard point, that's when it gets a bit, that's when you sort of think, it's hurting, but you know you're doing something that a lot of people can't, and it gives you that little buzz, you know what I mean? And it's kind of, you put yourself in that hard place, but you just keep yourself going and you're getting those little wins. Those every mile, you're just getting that little win. You're thinking, wow, I'm doing it. Even though you're hurting, you just think, there's an end goal and I'm going to achieve that goal.
There's a few, I've seen a few of these like challenges on Facebook. There was one that was 100K. It's like me and my mate are on about doing it, but I like climbing mountains more than I think I'll like doing this. Have you ever scuttled up any mountains?
Yeah, we had to go over a mountain when we did that second day on the bloody 30 mile, man. That was a nightmare, cold one as well. I've done the Three Peaks. That was one of the places I'd love to go in life is go see Everest. I'm not looking to go up it, but I'll go have a look at it because I think it'd obviously be like madness or inspiring. But I've no interest really in climbing anything like that. That's just not for me.
I think I looked into like looking at Everest, but then I think you have to climb like 3 days before you can even see it. There's loads of false peaks around, and then by the time you actually like climb for 3 days, you can actually see the peak hidden behind all the other ones. Have you seen that when Ant Middleton did it?
No, I haven't actually. But that's good though. He's a good guy.
Like, the thing is, the program's good, right? The program's good, but it shows like all the good bits. Like a standard, it's like Instagram and that. It shows all the highlights of the climb. But then I've listened to his book, and in his book he's saying, there's a big line, there's like 15 people here. I'm going to wait for 3 hours on top of Everest. I feel like I'm going to die and all this. The book is sick.
Yeah, no, that's one I might have to check out.
Audiobooks
are the way forward. There's some serious bars out there. There's another guy called David Goggins. He's got a book called what is it now? Called Can't Hurt Me. It's called. I recommend that to anyone who needs a little motivation boost. Man, he's the same sort of guy as Ant Middleton, but he's an American dude. He's a ex Navy SEAL now.
Is he a half caste guy?
Yeah, mixed race.
I know what you're on about. Yeah, I know you're on about.
Bald guy. And this guy's the real deal. But he came from nothing, and he was a bum. He did nothing. He didn't have any motivation. His life were dead. And then one day he just flicked a switch. And he's known now as the hardest man on the planet Earth, and it's a fact. So if anyone needs any sort of motivation, I'd recommend Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins, 100%.
It runs with no music on or nothing. Himself in his head.
Nothing, no music. It's inspiring, to say the least. The guy, there's that race, that Moab 240, you've got to, only the big boys qualify for that. And to qualify, you've got to be able to run 100 miles in 24 hours. That's the standard. If you make that, and this guy's seeing this David Goggins, left the SEALs or whatever, seeing this, and he's thought, yeah, I'm going to give this a go. So he's gone out, started training, and he's doing mad miles, like 60 miles on his first day and whatever else. Brings this event organizer and he's saying, yeah, come on, let me get in this race. And the guy's like, nah, you can't get in. You've not done anything. You've got to be able to do this. You've got to be able to do 100 miles, 24 hours. That's how you get your place. I was like, okay, I'll do that. And this is, bear in mind, this is in his first year, first few bloody months of training or whatever. Obviously, he's a fit dude, but no one can prepare himself to do 100 miles in 24 hours. Anyway, he gets qualified. He goes to do this 100 miles as a track, and it's just a loop. It's just a loop around the track, a running track, like 400-meter track or whatever long they are. And you've got to run around that track for 24 hours and clock as many miles as you can. By something like mile, like, I can't remember whatever it was, but he's out, his feet are bleeding. He shit his pants. He's in a bad way. But end of the day, he gets around that track and he does his 100 miles in 24 hours and he qualifies for the race. And it's like from his start to where he started from to get to that point, it's an unbelievable read, really. I'd recommend anyone to try that.
I think 100 miles would be hard. Like, say if I sit up here and ran to, I don't know how far Newcastle is, but I imagine that's about 100 miles away from here.
Maybe
imagine doing that around a track.
Nah, just that's
no change of scenery, no nothing, just running around a track.
Nah, that's it. That's mental games, you know what I'm saying? You've got to have some serious mental toughness, mental fortitude to be able to carry on doing something like that. But yeah. I mean, he's built himself up. He's been in the SEALs, he's done all these little things, and discipline obviously for him in his life is a massive part as well. You build yourself up to doing things like that, and getting tougher every single day, doing little things, little tasks, and then they become big tasks. And obviously, he's one of them boys who are achieving the big stuff.
100 miles, you know.
Yeah, 100 miles. It's not a joke.
It's not 100K. It's 100 miles.
Nah, 100 miles, not a joke.
Jeez, I seen a documentary before, and it was about this. It was like a long distance race, like you lot have been doing, but it was in like the desert somewhere. It was in Africa somewhere. And it looked sick.
Through the Sahara Desert, what's that called now? That's meant to be the toughest race in the world.
Mate, they were saying, oh, it's red hot, it's horrible. They've all got like the big hats on with all the big peaks on, so the sun can't get to them. But then when they're recording it, like they've got the drone over the top. There's like wild giraffes walking at the side of them while they're running and stuff like that. And all wild like that. It looks sick.
It does look tough. Something like that would be a nightmare, though. Imagine that. Because there's a, what do they call that now? I can't remember what it's called. I'm going to have a look when I Google that stuff. But I can't remember what it's called. I've watched a thing on it, though, and there's this guy. It's on Netflix, actually. He goes out there and he does this race, whatever it's called. And obviously there's sandstorms and stuff whilst this race is going on. It's madness. Gets caught up in this sandstorm. And he loses track of everything. He's hunkered down for like hours and hours and hours. And the race events lose him and everything. And then he's about to die. This guy has obviously been gone for days. Stumbles across this little old building. Gets into this building. Thinks, all right, I'm about to die now. Starts catching bats and survives on these bats and manages to somehow find some people and survive the race. And that's just another story about like how humans can really they can push their bodies to do some serious stuff.
You can adapt, man.
Yeah, they can
do. What we do is we've adapted for millions of years, haven't we? So from coming all the way from where we've come from to here, we've just adapted and adapted and adapted. And it's sad to see that how little we're adapting now because technology's catching up so much.
It's mad, isn't it, really? I mean, God knows where it's going to go. Technology is literally, it just moves up so quick. Do you know what I mean? It's every year there's something new.
It's
every
mad,
year,
isn't it? It's mad.
Yeah.
Well, if you could go backwards 1,000 years or go forwards 1,000 years, where are you going?
Forwards, 100%.
You reckon?
100%. You've got to see what's going on, definitely. What do you think?
I think I'd go back, mate.
Back and see what? You know what's going on back there 1,000 years ago, though?
But I find history's like proper...
Interesting. History is interesting.
I think if I watch a program on history and then I watch a film that's made up, I'll find the history so much more stimulating compared to something that's made up. See, I'd 100%, if I could go back and see a real life Viking and watch a Viking fight or something, I'd be there 100%.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously there's a lot of things you want to see back in history. I'm sure there is like all sorts of like JFK assassination or something like that, and see what happened there, or big things like that, world wars and all things like that. History is so interesting. But I think I kind of want to know what's going on, man, what's happening in that future, whatever it's going to be. I mean, what I can't see it. I can't see stuff getting much better, really. I can't, do you know what I mean? I mean, it's a bit of a negative comment, but
we might not even be here 1,000 years. Humans might be gone 1,000 years.
I mean, for me, I think that's the way everything seems to be heading, doesn't it? I mean,
we're just killing the planet. Literally, we're killing the planet. So,
killing the planet. Well, I mean, the definition of a parasite is something that latches onto a host and uses it for everything it's got, and that's exactly what we do to the earth. Do you know what I mean?
Mate, we're just rinsing it. We're rinsing it with rinse resources. It for all
resources. But the worst thing is, obviously, we know we're doing it. We know it's happening, and no one stops it. No one. Everyone carries on doing this stuff. Do you know what I mean? Everyone carries on doing the day-to-day. And you might try and do a little bit, but it's too far gone. It's too far gone.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be drastic changes if we're going to... All us smaller people, like say, we've got no power in the government or all that. If we all make enough noise between us, someone's going to listen.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? But, I mean, there's people up there, the rich are rich. The rich are really rich, and the rich are only getting richer. And they don't want that to stop. And at the end of the day now, there's people out there who are so rich, so much money, that really they must be controlling what's going on behind the scenes. Do you know what I mean? I mean, who knows? But
there's agendas everywhere, I reckon. The stuff, nothing happens by accident.
Of course. There's too much money everywhere for things to be that easy. It'd be nice to think the everyday man could overrun everything, which obviously maybe they could, but I think things might be, there's a lot going on in that that top end of life that we'll never know about.
100%, mate. What do you reckon with the vaccine and stuff? You reckon life's going to go back to normal?
I mean, I'd like to think so. It's been a crazy year, really. No one's had a good time. Obviously, the sooner things get back to normal, the better, but I can't see things getting back to normal anytime soon, really.
It's going to be a new normal.
The new normal, that's it. I can't see myself going out and not sort of being a bit shook towards being a bit too close to someone. You know what I'm saying? I see someone coughing now. I don't think you'll ever look at someone coughing the same way. Do you know what I mean? Sneeze or something. I'm dodging that by a good few meters now. It's just one of those things, isn't it? It's going to be a big part of history, really, I suppose, looking back.
That's what I mean. History again, isn't it? Like, say, 1,000 years' time from now, if we're still here, they'll be like, they'll read in the book, the coronavirus of 2020 or whatever, or 2019.
This is it. I mean, obviously, people live through all sorts of stuff, but our generation, our thing is going to be a coronavirus. I mean, this has never happened in the history of the world. You know what I mean? We've got the entire world on lockdown. It's like it's literally like a movie. You got to hope for the best, and hopefully in the future, it will get back to some sort of normality, but I think we've got a while to go just yet.
Yeah, I've got no idea, mate. I've got absolutely no idea what they're going to do next, because they put London in tier two. And all the London people, they're happy. Oh, yeah, we can have a nice Christmas. Then, bam, tier 4.
Tier 4, man. That's not what you need to hear at all, is it?
It's mad, isn't it?
Just before Christmas. I mean, what do you do, man? I mean, how many people are going to be listening to not going around seeing the families? I mean, obviously, I might, but I might not. it's Christmas, isn't it? You want to go out, you want to see your family, you want to see your friends. It's like... I don't know. It's a tricky one to navigate, really, isn't it?
It is tricky because you know the risks involved with it, but then you know how much you actually want to see your family and stuff because it's Christmas, it's our thing, it's what we do. Mm. But then you know the risks involved with it, so it's like it's just a a bad situation to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. All you can do is hope that obviously sooner rather than later it's going to sort itself out. But
hopefully.
No one knows. Hopefully.
So what are you on with this CrossFit, Andy? I seen your new venture.
Yeah.
Lifting some big weights.
Well, I'm getting there. I'd like to. I think, well, CrossFit is definitely something. Like I said, when you as you get older and you find yourself a bit more, you sort of mold into. You can try more things, and your character molds, and then you find sort of stuff you're more interested in. And CrossFit for me has been the one that I think I'll end up sticking with now for a good while. I mean, if you don't know what CrossFit is, it's just it's a cross of any kind of sport, anything just chucked into one. And it's just basically a circuit event of it could be anything you could think of: box jumps, push press, deadlifts, throw it into a circuit, and obviously you just blast it out and do your reps and get your time. But it's one of those. It's an individual thing. You've got to dig deep, man. It's a lot of mental involved in CrossFit, and it's that cross of being not just good at one thing. You have to be good at lifting the weights. You have to be good at running a distance. You've got it swimming, biking, all sorts of any aspect of fitness. And for me, that's perfect. That's exactly what I like to do. Be a bit of a good, well-rounded athlete in any situation.
When I seen you were getting into CrossFit and I seen you post something, I was like, yes, this is something.
Yeah.
This
yeah,
is
yeah. Straight up. I think, like I said, it's a niche, man. I'll stick with it. It's fun. It's different. It's you're always doing something different, and it's a good community as well. CrossFit. I'd recommend
it
to anyone to give it a go. Like anyone who's feeling down or really is struggling or with anything like that, you come along and give CrossFit a go. Because little plug for Coleman Valley CrossFit. It's since I've been there, it's been great for me. It's kept me going. They've sorted us out through a lockdown, lend the gear out and all sorts. And it's just friendly. So you get down there, and a lot of people, obviously, you don't see people nowadays, and some people might not see have friends to see or whatever, but you get down there and it's a nice little community, and you can have a conversation, you can have a laugh, and then you have a train at the same time, and you come out feeling on top of the world.
I've always noticed that with people that go to like CrossFit gyms and stuff, it's not just like you go in there to work out. It's like you work out, you chill with the people a bit, do another workout, you have a good time with the people, you have a laugh. It's just a community is the best way to say it.
It is a community. Well, when you do your workouts, you obviously you do it as a group or however many are down there. They all do the same workout. You don't know what you're going to be doing. You get down there and you can't hide away. You do your workout. But similarly to like we said with the rugby, you go through hardship together. You create a bond. So it's one of those things. You all know exactly what. You all go through the same thing, and you all know how hard that was. And then when you finish something like that, and you know exactly what they've been through. It makes friendships, and it makes an unsaid understanding, if you know what I'm saying. It's a great thing to do. Like being around people, it's some people might not like to do it. Man, I don't particularly like being around people all the time, but it's good for you. It's good for you to go out and socialise and have a chat. And CrossFit is an easy environment where it's not forced upon you. No one forces you to talk, but it's easy to do it. And it's easy to get involved and have a good time and obviously have a good workout.
Yeah, literally, I think with CrossFit and stuff, it's like you're competing against yourself. You don't have to be competing against anybody else. Mm-hmm. And then with another thing with it, everyone, as soon as someone finishes their workout, the next person's still going. They're straight on their back telling them, come on, let's get through this.
Straight on the back. It's a great environment. It honestly is. It's might from the outside looking in, it might look scary, it might look tough, but it's anyone can do it. Anyone can give it a go. Obviously, things are scaled and the camaraderie is just, it's brilliant. Like in that situation, like if you finish that workout first, you get on someone and you help them to finish their workout. And then when everything's finished, you've had a great time and everyone's sort of clapping each other and obviously patting each other on the back. And it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. So if you're feeling down, and you get, obviously sometimes you might have a bad day at work. You might have the worst thing could have happened to you, whatever it could be, anything. And then if you go down there, or any form of exercise, really, but if I go down there, had a tough day, get that workout in, at the end of the day, when I finish that workout, I'm feeling good. I feel like I can take on whatever those stresses were, or those stresses are just that little bit easier, or a lot easier even. Like I feel like I've worked it away. It's a big training is a huge part of my life because everyone has bad days, everyone has tough days, they really do, and then that relief to me, that training, that it takes away any sort of stress that I have. And I can't recommend it enough to people, because I think there's a lot of people who just like that easy life. And don't get me wrong, that's fine. If that's happy for you, and if you're happy doing that, then that's cool. But if you're feeling down and you're feeling depressed or whatever it is, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, maybe you can't get out of it, but it's not for the lack of, if you go and try and have a go at something like that, any sort of exercise, and it changes your mindset completely. It's those little goals, those little wins, man, and it'll do wonders for you.
I can tell how passionate you are about it by the way how you speak about it, and how much it's impacted your life just by how you're trying to push it, not push other people, trying to give them the advice to come and feel as good as you feel. Because I can tell how in your voice and in your movements, how good it makes you feel even just talking about it.
Honestly, God, the passion, it's second to none. But just fitness in general. Obviously, I've always done it. I've always been a healthy guy. I've always done fitness, and I always will do, because I know the benefits of it, obviously. And if you stick with that disciplined life and that structured life, and you keep, I mean, not everyone has to do it to the extent I do. Like, obviously, I do a hell of a lot of training, but just doing a little bit. And I've seen people down at CrossFit. I've seen people message me all the time asking like some advice or whatever it is, or can we go for a session, anything like that. And you've always got to be, I'm always there to say, yeah, no, I'll give them a helping hand, whatever it is, whatever you can. But I've seen people down there turn up and sort of not have much confidence about them, or not really, you can tell they're a bit down or whatever else. And I've seen them come through the months and through the weeks, and they become a different person. And it's all to do with just being healthier. Being healthy is such a positive part of life, and everyone should strive to be that bit healthier, man. Health is wealth, and that's one of the truest things you can say. Health is wealth. You shouldn't take your health for granted. You should always do something to give you that little boost, man.
I agree, man. So where is it? Cone Valley CrossFit, you said?
Cone Valley CrossFit, man. Big plug. Get yourselves down there, man. It's a great place. Great place to train. Great people. Great coaches. Yeah, definitely. I'd recommend it.
I might have to check them out. I've seen a few people go in there. A few people
get down for a session. Jordan comes down now. It's good.
Jordan's loving it. Man. When is it? Is it night sessions or?
All throughout the day, man. All throughout the day. But yeah, I usually drop down to the half six, whatever sessions. But it's good because you're in there. You get there for an hour. You do your stuff. You do your strength stuff. You do your workout. You say hi. You say bye, and you get out, and you feel better. It's an hour of your day. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of people. There might be people watching this who are just thinking like, oh man, I know it's saying I've had a long day at work, but I'm sat down, I'm thinking, nah, that's me now, I'm done, I'm toast. And all right, you can sit there, but say you get home at 5 o'clock, or whatever, it might be earlier. What are you going to do? You're going to have a shower, you're going to sit down, and what are you going to do? You're just going to watch TV or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? You've still got a few hours a day. All it takes is one extra hour to change your life, really. And it's whether you've got the get up to go and do it. It comes down to how much you want it, really, doesn't it? If you want to make a change, or if you're unhappy, you want to try and make yourself happy, then you've got to go out and give it a go. You've got to do something to make that change. It's not just going to happen itself. But like I said earlier, you get those little wins, you do those little things, and everything just starts to fall into place that little bit easier.
Yes. So we're coming up to the new year now. What's your plans? What are you trying to achieve for next year?
It's a good question. Goals are important, man. Goals are important. You should always set those goals and try and achieve them, because it spurs you on, and you get, like I said, we get that win, you get that buzz. I'd say next year, obviously, I'll be doing my CrossFit now. I'm looking to get that big 140 clean.
Oof.
Probably not get it up. But yeah, we're getting there, man. We're working.
Jerk that as well.
Nah, maybe not. Well, who knows? Maybe by Christmas time. That'd be a nice little Christmas present, but we'll see.
120 is the heaviest I've ever had up.
Clean and jerk?
No. I'm not jerking that. My shoulders won't hold that. Just clean.
Yeah. Clean's a clean. That's a decent clean, man. I'd like to see that form, to be fair. But
couldn't do it now.
Nah. That's a heavy lift, is that?
Yeah, I couldn't do it now.
No, something like hit a 140 clean would be nice. We're doing a team CrossFit event. I think it's being pushed back to May. We're going to do it this year in September, but obviously everything going on, that's another one. Achieve that. Possibly look into doing an individual CrossFit event. I think now I've been doing it for a little while, it's definitely something I'd like to give a go.
Are you going to enter the Open?
I'll enter the Open next year, definitely. That's in a few months now, to be fair, is that. But that's always good, man. That's always good. It's for people who don't know, the Open, it's like anyone, CrossFit are the top athletes, and obviously anyone who does CrossFit, you enter the Open, and everyone does the same workout, so you can pit yourself against every CrossFit athlete who's decided to enter the Open and see how you're going up against them.
I love that format, mate. I love that format. Oh,
it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's so good. It's on the way up, to be fair. It's a good little spot. Obviously, you follow your top boys like your Matt Frazers and whoever else, Rich Froning's and Pat Billers and things like that. And you see their times and you post your times against their times and you sort of end up seeing where you are in the world. And it's good. It's exciting, especially for someone like me.
I love the format. Yeah. It's a sick format. Yeah.
It really is. It really is. Definitely something I'm looking forward to, man.
Well, so that's what you're doing. Is all your goals are on the CrossFit next year?
I think so. I mean,
you're not going to pull nothing new out of the bag that I'm going to think, yo, this is sick.
Well, this is the thing, man. I keep jumping ship all the time. I need to stick to something once. Stick to something. Nah, I found my groove with CrossFit. I'm going to stick at it, I think, for a little while and see how that goes. What about you? Have you got anything?
What am I trying to achieve next year? I think since starting this Wild Minds journey, I just want to learn more. So I'm just trying to take as much information as I can. I just want to do as much learning as I can next year.
That's a great goal. That's a great thing to say. I'm glad I heard you say that, man. Learning is a great thing. I used to take it for granted, but I think it's really important to try and learn as much as you can. Podcasts are great, man. Podcasts are just great things to listen to. You can bang it on at any time and you can learn so much. It's interesting to listen to different people from different walks of life and hear what their thoughts are on things and really get much more of a broad understanding on all sorts of things, man. And it is important to be well-versed in things like that.
Yeah, I think I think Regina said to me in her podcast, she said, if you're not learning, you're just existing. And I'm not just here. I don't want to just exist. I want to learn and just keep growing and growing and growing. I think that's the important thing, man.
You've got to bet yourself, man. It's part of life, isn't it? Like you say, that's exactly it. You go stale if you don't sort of pick up new things or try new things. I think there's a lot of people who just live the life and they just do that same thing again and again. They'll wake up, they'll go to work, they'll come home and just do nothing. But there's so much more to life. So much more. You can do anything, do you get me? You spend an hour in a podcast, anything, or an audio book, and you learn different things, you hear different things, you get excited by different things, which will make you then jump into a different thing. Life's exciting, man. You've just got to be able to find the excitement in it or go out there and look for it. Don't just wait for it to come to you. Go and have a look what's out there. Have a bit of a siege up, man, and just try things out.
I think the virus for me, I think that's opened my eyes to there's so much more that I want to do, but I'll be stuck in a routine and I need to get out of that routine. I need to go see the stuff that I want to see instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'll get there one day.
Yeah, that's good, man. I see a bit of a difference in you. I definitely think a lot more positive and you're obviously out there trying to grow as a person, and when you're around people like that you get a vibe from them, man. It really does, it rubs off on you. Surround yourself with people who are doing the best, you know what I mean? Surround yourself by like-minded people, by positive people, and it makes all the difference. If you've got people in your life who really, if you look at them, they're just dragging you down, then I'd recommend that you try and distance yourself from people like that, you know what I mean? Like being around people like you and having conversations with people like you who were on that rise and looking for those positive vibes and really try to learn from life, it rubs off. It rubs off like someone like me and you having a conversation. It spurs both of us on to sort of be better and achieve more things.
Serious, man. Serious. Right. I think I'll stop wasting your time because it seems as we're filming this so late.
Yeah, man. It's been a long one, to be fair. I'm knackered.
I want to say thanks to you for coming on, man. I think you're a good insight. You're a good brain. The way you think and stuff is good for people to hear because it's not a normal thing to think like. I think your brain and the way you think is like extraordinary.
Yeah, that's nice.
it's a good thing, man. Nice one. Thanks for coming on, G.
Yeah, no worries, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing, man. It's good to see some, like I said, some positivity in a negative world as it is at the moment. And yeah, man, you should be proud.
All good, man. Respect, man. Peace.
All right, but see you.